on 88.1 from Falvey Hall at the Brown Center on the campus of the Maryland Institute College of Art. I'm Sheila Cast, and this is the WYPR Maryland Film Festival Spotlight. Tonight on the Spotlight, a conversation with filmmaker Martha Shane, who grew up in Baltimore County. Shane's documentary film, After Tiller, follows the only four doctors in the country who openly perform late-term abortions. We're here with an audience at Micah's Brown Center. We've just screened the film, and Martha Shane joins me now to talk about it. Welcome. Let's start with the film's title, After Tiller. Tell us what that's about.
So Dr. George Tiller was a doctor in Kansas who provided abortions. He specialized in later abortions, and he was murdered in May of 2009. So our film follows the last four doctors in the U.S. who are openly performing these procedures in the wake of his murder. All of them knew him. They were very close to him. And he actually had a really interesting personal history. He had been in the military for years. He actually was murdered in church, despite being one of the most hated people among many members of the Christian right. And so we at first thought it would be fascinating to make a film about Dr. Tiller, but then we thought we might be more interesting even to go inside the lives of the four doctors who are still doing this work.
And those four doctors are Dr. Leroy Carhart, who has a clinic in Maryland in Germantown, Warren Hearn, Shelley Sella, and Susan Robinson. Going deeper, why did you decide to take on the topic of late-term abortion at all?
You know, it's interesting. We came to this subject knowing actually very little about the later abortions. We felt like it would be interesting to study these doctors because they are there's so few who are openly doing this work, and because they are among the most vilified, and because Dr. Tiller was doing it, honestly. So, but when we started making this film, we knew very little about the later abortions and the reasons why a woman would seek an abortion so late in pregnancy. And so I think it was something of a learning experience for us as filmmakers exploring the subject just like it is for the audience.
And what was it like, what did you go through with the doctors? Were the doctors eager to do this project with you, or was it a selling job on your part?
It was, you know, it was very individual. As you can see in the film, they have such different personalities. The two male doctors were already very open and out about their work and were already political figures to a certain extent. Dr. Carhart is very warm and mild-mannered. He immediately said, yes, come visit us in Nebraska, no problem. We'd love to hear more about this. Dr. Hearn at first said, you know, I don't see why anyone would want to learn about this story. I don't think you'll find any audience for this film. But again, also allowed us to come visit. And once we met them in person, they were both on board very quickly. But the two female doctors actually took about a year to decide to be part of the film. They had been really close with Dr. Tiller, who never did any interviews. He always said, it's not about me, it's about the patient. And so for that reason, they initially said no. But then I think after some time had passed and we would just keep checking in on them every so often, eventually they decided to let us come to the clinic. And after getting to know each other, they finally agreed as well. So we were extremely lucky to have all four of them, I think, agree to be in the film.
You show us in the film a range of parents choosing to have a late-term abortion for different reasons, ranging from fetal abnormalities to deciding they didn't want to have a child. How typical are these cases? I mean, did you try to find a cross-section of the cases first of all, how long were you at these clinics? How much time did you spend at these clinics?
So we spent about 4 to 6 weeks shooting in each clinic, and then we spent additional time filming with the doctors and their families and at some of the protests you see in the film. But, you know, it was a fairly representative cross-section of cases that you see here. I think that the women who have fetal anomalies were often, in some cases, more likely to agree to be part of the film. But we really felt from the beginning that it was extremely important to show a wide range. And even when we couldn't get actual footage with a patient, we found ways to sort of bring that into the story. So there's a scene where Dr. Carhart is reading an email from a 14-year-old girl who's tried to self-abort. She's tried to drink to end the pregnancy. She's tried basically everything she can think of and is just incredibly desperate. And that's a patient who we weren't able to actually film with in person, but we felt like the email was a good stand-in and a way to show the full range of cases.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Martha Shane, one of the filmmakers of After Tiller, a documentary that follows the four doctors who perform late-term abortions. The voices in your film are not, by and large, strident. I mean, we hear protesters. We certainly see public hearings, et cetera, where protesters, anti-abortion advocates make the case, but often we see the demonstrators praying. We certainly hear from parents who are making the choice to have a late-term abortion. We hear a lot from the doctors about why they do what they do, but we don't actually get much of a sharp debate. Why did you take that approach?
You know, we decided just to stay away from debate and to focus on the very intimate stories of these four doctors because we felt that this issue is almost always framed as a debate, and it's almost always sort of in the more mainstream news media, it's emphasized how far apart these two sides are, the pro-choice side and the pro-life side. So we thought that by sort of avoiding those political voices and focusing on the doctors and the patients who are really the ones who are most intimately involved with this issue, but also the ones who haven't really been heard from before, that we could just shed a lot more light on this issue and sort of reframe the discussion.
Who do you hope will see this film?
We hope that, you know, our feeling and what we've encountered is that the vast majority of people in this country are sort of in the middle on this issue. They don't necessarily know very much about the later abortions or the reasons why a woman would seek a later abortion. And they may have some political attitudes, but they have a sense of the complexity of the issue. And so that's the people who would like to see the film.
One of the most compelling voices, sort of second guessing, is Dr. Sella, who tells you that she struggles with the work that she does. And at one point she tells you that she always sees these late-term fetuses as babies. She says, this isn't tissue, these are babies. What kind of reaction have you gotten to that in particular and to your documentary in general?
To that particular line, I think people really identify with that because I think in some ways that's sort of the elephant in the room is, well, when it is this far along in pregnancy, isn't it more like a baby? I think people would ask that question naturally. And so to hear a doctor say that that's her personal experience of the issue, I think it lets people trust her. It sort of opens them up. They feel like you're not hearing just political messaging, the same old pro-choice talking points that we've heard over and over again. We're hearing a more complex view of this. And so that's been really amazing. And then, you know, I think the response to the film has been really warm. And what we hear more often, you know, most often from people who've seen the film is that this issue is just so much more complicated than they realized. And that the situations of the patients and the doctors are more complicated. So I hope that people are coming away with a more nuanced understanding of the issue and that it's pushing people, no matter which side of the issue you're on, to think more deeply about your perspective.
You grew up in Baltimore County, went to Towson High School. Did anything in your upbringing influence you as a filmmaker?
You know, I grew up with my father, who's a journalist, and my mother, who teaches English to foreigners. So I think there was always a lot of interesting people coming in and out of the house and always a lot of interesting discussions. And
And I think that probably shaped, you know, it was a good, a positive atmosphere where curiosity, or an atmosphere where curiosity was encouraged.
There's certainly a Maryland element to this documentary because Dr. Carhart's clinic is in Germantown, and he tells you that Maryland, as his work was curtailed in other states, that Maryland was the most welcoming, legally, the most welcoming place. And then you chronicle the protests and you chronicle what he does. What went through your mind as a product of Maryland in that part of your documentary?
Yeah, you know, it was a total surprise to me to learn that Maryland had these laws that were, you know, relatively friendly to abortion doctors and to reproductive rights. Personally, it was great because we were constantly low on money and my dear parents let us stay at their house and borrow their car. And that made it possible for us to film a lot in Germantown. But really, it was, you know, it was wonderful to learn that Maryland was so great. And I think one thing in particular was that the police in Germantown, who we covered a lot of the protests there, and the police were always really, really responsive. And I think that was very different than what we had seen in Nebraska, where Dr. Carhart had previously practiced, and also what Dr. Tiller experienced at his clinic, which was a police force that was very unresponsive to issues at the clinic. So it was really wonderful to see the police in Maryland being so vigilant and really trying to make sure that nothing bad could happen.
So what's next for you as a filmmaker?
As a filmmaker, I am working on two other projects. I'm co-directing a film about a French con woman who worked in the U.S. film industry for many years. So that's sort of a fun project. And then I'm also producing a film that relates to transgender issues in small town America. And then I'm also just getting this film out there. We're hoping to still get it seen by an ever-growing audience.
Well, you certainly have teed up a lot of issues in this film that deserves some careful thought. So I applaud you for it. Thank you. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Martha Shane. She's a Baltimore County native, one of the filmmakers behind the documentary After Tiller. We have information about where you can see the film on our website, wipr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. You've been listening to the WIPR Maryland Film Festival Spotlight. Throughout the year, we screen new movies by some of the world's most imaginative filmmakers, and we talk to them about their work. Stay tuned to Maryland Morning for information about upcoming events in our Spotlight series. Thanks to producer Stephanie Hughes and Matt Purdy, our engineer here at MICA, John Lippitz, Jed Dietz, and the staff at the Maryland Film Festival. And thanks to you for listening and to our audience here at MICA on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cass from the Brown Center at MICA in Baltimore. We appreciate your being with us. Have a great day.